We pray that you're trusting in God today. Man may let you down, but God will never, ever fail you. Never, ever fail you. Never, never. Father God, we just come to you this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. With a free heart, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glad that we're attached to you. Glad that we're part of your kingdom. Glad that we trust in you. For truly, you have never, ever, ever failed us, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord God, as we go forward worshiping you today and sharing your word with your people, bring enlightenment. Bring enlightenment. Bring change of habits, change of directions. Father God, open up eyes and open up ears, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we all can see and hear, hallelujah, what you're trying to impart into our spirit. Now, Lord God, we ask that you dispatch angels today. Fill this room with your presence in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. I trust in God. Hallelujah. And he heard me. He heard me. Hallelujah. He heard me. I trust in God. And he heard me. God's a good God. Oh, I wish everybody just get enlightened today and get on board with whatever God wants you to do. God is a good God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we get married, we say, I do. Hallelujah. Some say, I will. Hallelujah. But God is, you know, we're not waiting on God, but he's waiting on us. Amen. The good thing about God is that he won't force us to do anything. Hallelujah. Are you at a point in your life where you'd like to have more? Amen. Or maybe everybody here just got more than enough. Hallelujah. You know the secret is, and I found out, that God wants us to have more. You know, for a few weeks, we're going to be talking about debt-free living. Living like you don't, you know, in a state where you don't owe anybody anything. And you got more than enough to do whatever you want to do. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about what I said. To do whatever you want to do in your heart. Now, bear in mind that what you want to do change with knowledge. Change with spiritual growth. There may be a time where, listen, all you ever wanted, listen, all you ever wanted was a $200,000 car. But as you grew in your maturity, now you realize, hey, I can deal with $30,000 or $20,000 car. I want a car that's running. Amen? I want a car that's running. That's what we want. But whatever your heart's desire, hallelujah, wouldn't it be nice to just to be comfortable? I tell my wife all the time, I say, it's got to be a great feeling. You know, when you're going, ladies, when you go into a jewelry store, go into a dress store, and you never have to look at the prices. All you're looking for is something that gets your mind. Wouldn't that be nice? Yes. You know, I like that red one. Are you with me? And never have to worry about what the red one costs. Jesus wants you to live like that. He wants you to live like, he wants all of us to live like that. But in our culture, one of the things that straps us down is this debt, owing other people stuff and not having enough just to do some of the things that you want to do. Wouldn't it be nice to take a vacation 3 or 4 times a year? Amen. Hello? Yes. Wouldn't it be nice? Hallelujah. I see people sometime at the grocery store, and I understand what they're doing, but they got a little calculator. And they're going through the store. Now, and they're doing that because they got a budget, right? Yes. And they don't want to exceed their budget. That makes sense. You don't want to get to the front of the store and then you can't pay for it. But isn't it better if you don't have to bring the calculator? Yes. You see 6 pounds of pork chop, I don't care what they cost. You want them, you get it. Yes. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. All the time. My wife, when we out somewhere and she go shopping, she always tried to get me into that. You know, she always looking for a sale. Amen. She said, look what this costs. I don't care what that costs. She's always saving money. And God bless her heart. I appreciate her saving money. But one of the things I told her before, listen, if you can't afford stuff in that store, don't go in the store. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Don't go in there. But once you get in there, don't worry about the price. You've already determined that you can afford whatever they're selling in there. God wants you to live debt free. He wants you to live a lifestyle where you have more than enough. But the devil has tricked us and made us come up with our own plans. And our own plans just keep us in a mess. Keeps us bound up. We can't, you can't do what you want to do. Maybe there's somebody you just want to bless with $300 or $400 or $500 because of their situation. But because you got debt, you can't give them that kind of money. God says, I want you to live debt free. And I want you to have enough to do whatever I tell you to do. That's the lifestyle that you and I need to be living. God, let me tell you something that might mess you up. Listen, God doesn't really care about what you want. I got to stand still when I say that. All right? He really don't care about that at all. He has a plan and he has a purpose. If you line up your life with his plan and his purpose, God's going to make sure you always have more than enough to do whatever you want to do. Your plans is not his number one priority. Our plans is not his number one priority. It's not. But he will make sure that whatever your plans are, you have more than enough to take care of them. If you get his purpose and his plans done first. Now, for the next 4 or 5 weeks, I just want to talk to you about it. Because, listen, God said, I believe God has said, I'm tired of my people not having enough. I'm tired of that. I'm just tired of that. Amen? I'm just tired of that. If you had an unlimited amount of money and you had children and they were going around barefoot, naked, half, you know, clothes hanging off on them, dirty all the time, you say, look, I'm tired of that. Why are you living like that? And that's what God is saying to you and I today. Why are you living like that? Hallelujah. God don't want us just to have stuff so we can just flush it out to the world and say, look at me. No, 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 no. That's not what it's about. It's not about that at all. It's about God's plan and his purpose. But in doing his plan and accomplishing his purpose, he wants us to be comfortable. He want us to be debt-free all the time. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit. Today I want to just focus on God's pattern for funding his ministry. I've been to churches, hallelujah. I've been to churches where, you know, people will stand up for 30 minutes. Can I get $10 more? Can I get $5 more? Come on, folks, we know we can do this. $5 more, come on. And then when they get the $5, they say, can we get $2 more? They never stop begging. What kind of perception does that leave in the minds of people who have not entered into a relationship with God? If that's all God can do, I don't need him. I don't need him. And then there's local congregations. You know, I don't know any particular one, but there's local congregations that'll just do things to bring pressure on people. You know, come on, I need 10 people to give me $5,000. And God will bless you. Well, God's got to find another way to do this. That's never been God's way of funding his ministry, never. And as we start this series, I just want to start with that so that you'll understand and that you can get into his plan and his purpose. I told you, listen, look, when I find out some of God's secrets, I say, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Amen. Never, never be broke a day in my life. Never, never be broke another day in my life. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. Let's take a look at this. God does not want us to move like the world moves. You need to get that in your heart, first of all. He does not want us to operate like the world operates. I know you're smart. I know you can figure out things, but listen, we've entered into a whole new kingdom now, a whole new walk of life. Let me share a few scriptures with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 in the King James Version says this. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord. God expects you and I to come out from the world, stop doing things like the world, and be separate from the world. It don't mean to isolate people or push people out of your life, but it's basically saying you can't think like them anymore. You can't think like the world. You can't act like it. You can't move like the world. And then in John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not. So when you and I get born again, we enter into a whole new world. Now, it'll take me a while to tell you about all the facets of that world, but I'm going to tell you, it's totally different. Totally different. God said that you and I can call things that be not as if they are. But if you've never experienced it, it don't make no sense to you. But that's what he's saying. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 19, he says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Foolishness. Foolishness. Oh, I wish somehow or another, listen, I don't know, there ought to be a God school or something for us to go and understand the ways of God. All you got to do is stay in those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see how Jesus moved with a crowd. Listen, a crowd of more than 5,000 men plus women and children, and got a couple of fish and a couple of pieces of bread. He fed all those people, and then he had 12 basket loads left. Come on now, you know you want to walk like that. Jesus said, this is how we operate in my kingdom. We don't have to send them to the grocery store. Oh, my God. This is how we operate. It's time, brothers and sisters, for you and I to start operating like God wants us to operate in his kingdom. God will move within our level of faith. That's the key that I want you to understand here, first of all. Without faith, what the Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What pleases God? Blessing you. Amen. But without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Now, if you're not turning to these scriptures, and I know you may not be able to turn to them fast enough because we're living in a digital age, at least write them down somewhere so you can go home and meditate on what God is saying. Matthew 9, 29 says, Jesus touched the eyes of the two blind men and said this, according to your faith be it unto you. Ha! If you can believe for it, you got it. That's not magic. That's just a different laws of a different kingdom. See, if we have faith to believe God for debt-free ministry, then God will give us just that. Amen. Just that. I'm talking about the things that we have to do to operate the ministries and to do what God has called us to do. I don't care what it costs. I'm not even sure that word cost, C-O-S-T, is in God's vocabulary. But it does take faith. It has always been God's will for his ministry to be debt-free. Why? So that the church could fulfill all its mandates. All of its mandates. God don't want us to be hunkered down. And you'll run into them if you haven't already. You'll run into to ministries, local churches that are so deep in debt that they can't move. So when God said go to the left, they cannot move. And sometimes people of God, us, those of us that have been born again, get ourselves in the same situation and we can't move. We can't. We can't move. So when God says to go this way and do this and it costs some money, we can't help. We can't help. We just can't help at all. Hallelujah. God provides a pattern. Everybody say pattern. He provides a pattern for the funding of his ministry. And today we're going to look at that pattern through the efforts of building of the tabernacle. You remember that story when God called those Israelites out of Egypt and he sent them into the desert. And one of the things that he had in mind is that they had to build a tabernacle. That's a church for us. But it was called a tabernacle. And it was a moving type of thing for them as well. Hallelujah. And these people had been slaves for 430 years. That's a long time. When you have that many people in your family that's got a slave mentality, and then you tell them to go build something that may cost $5-6 million. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But I want you to see through the blessing of these Israelites who coming out of Egypt as slaves, a pattern that God will apply not only to your life, but to the operation of his ministry. It all starts here for those of us that are saved. It all starts here at all. And there's a 5 steps to this to God's pattern. And the first step is that God blesses his people with resources. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if God ever wants you to do anything, he's going to give you the resources first. He's either going to put it in your hand or he's going to provide a way for the resources to come easily for you. You don't have to go out and find it. Just last month, and we announced that today, that the church, when I say the church members gave $2,500 to the Family Resource Center of Ahoskie. One of the things that happened with that is that I've known about it for several months, but I forgot about it. And then it was into the month. You know, it's like the fourth or the fifth of the month, and you only have that 1 month. And God had already told us to set a goal of $2,500 for the month of February for that project. But after I forgot about it, I said, all right, God, I forgot about it. I said, do I need to extend? Hello, listen to me now. I said, do I need to extend this campaign into March? He said, no, I've already given them the money. I heard it just as clear. He said, no, I've already given them the money. Now, for those of you who have never given leadership to a local church in this area, this community, when you ask folk for $2,500 and give them a few weeks, hallelujah, chances are you may not get that, not without begging. But God says, I've already given them the money. So God's first step, whenever he wants to do anything in his ministry, is he blesses his people with resources. That's the first step that he does there. See, it's always God's plan to provide abundantly for his people so they, in turn, can experience the blessings of giving to his work. That's how this whole thing, you've got to sow something to get the harvest. And God wants, hallelujah. God, boy, we only understood this thing. You've got to sow something in order to get your harvest. All farmers know that. Can you imagine being a farmer and you sitting out there doing the sowing season, you know, and you just reading your little sports magazine and folks say, when are you going to plant the seeds? Well, I'll get to it. And you never plant those seeds, and then harvest time comes around, what you going to harvest? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No use you scratching your head and say, I wonder what happened. You had an opportunity to sow. You had a season for sowing, and you blew it. You missed it. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 10 and 11. See, these principles are powerful. I don't know about you. Listen to me now. I know by now we ought to all be tired, sick and tired of operating with just barely having enough. I don't believe there's a person in here that really wants to live that way. Don't you want to live where you got more than enough? Amen. Don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. A lot of times I'll be waiting for God to tell me to sow. Amen. Now, you can't just plant seed anytime. And a farmer knows that. There's a season for that. Amen. You can't just say, well, I'm going to just plant some seeds here so I'm going to get a harvest. No, you better wait till God tell you this is the season and this is the place to plant it. Because then can you be guaranteed of the harvest that you need and that you're looking for. Look at the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 and 11 says, he that supplies seed to the sower. We're the sower. Both ministers are both supply bread for your food and multiply your seeds that you sow and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything. Why? So that you can be generous on every occasion. To all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember that story of the Israelites? Once again, I mentioned that a minute ago. They were in slavery for 430 years. Now, we don't understand. We really don't understand that. Because I don't believe there's anybody in this room that's really experienced true slavery, where you belong to somebody else and you had to do whatever they tell you to do. You had to work as long as they tell you to work, and you got nothing for it, not monetarily wise. You got nothing for it. We don't really understand that, but, you know, cognitively we understand it, but we don't have a feeling of what that feels like. But on the way out, listen, we know that God freed these people after 430 years, but only way out of the country, God said, fill up your pockets. Fill up your pockets. How'd you like God to tell you to fill up your pockets? Maybe take you to a local bank and say, fill up your pockets. Hallelujah. I know what you do. You run home, get another pair of pants. That's right. Get you some more pockets, right? But that's exactly what he did. God plundered the Egyptians. Why? So his people would have what they needed in the wilderness to build a church, to build a tabernacle. God knew why. See, these people were so happy they hadn't had anything for over 400 years. And now God was telling them, fill up your pockets. You got some gold, give it to me. You got some silver, give it to me. You got some pearls, give it to me. You got some materials, some fabric, give it to me. And they just filled up their pockets. They just took all this wealth. Now, I know they were happy. I don't know what they would have done with it in the wilderness anyway, but they were happy because they had all this stuff. They didn't understand that they were simply fulfilling God's pattern for doing his work, amen, for funding his ministry. The first step that God always does is he makes sure we have enough. So when he says, all right, I want to do this, you can pull it on out of your pocket, amen, and do that. Amen? Amen? That's why this ministry will never have to beg. Never, never, ever, ever have to beg. Because we understand that. Amen. We understand that. We understand the principles of God. And those principles applied even for those Israelites back there, you know, a few thousand years ago. The same principles apply. God made sure they had everything they need. So when he said, build me a tabernacle, which costs, the experts are saying around $5 or $6 million today to do what they were doing in the wilderness. Say, where would these people get that kind of money from in the desert? God already gave it to them. Amen. He's already given it to them. And anything he wants your ministry to do, he's always going to give it to you ahead of time, or he's going to provide a way for you to access those resources when you need them. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. All the time. Step two, after he provides the resources. See, we think we got to go out and make it. And that's why people, you see all this craziness going on in our culture, in our Christian culture. People doing all kinds of stuff to get folks inside a building so that they can get more money. Why? I don't care what side that ministry is, whether it's got 5 people in it or 5,000 people in it. God's pattern is still the same. Amen. If he wants those 5 people to do something, he's going to give them the resource first. That's the way it works. The second step is that a ministry needs to rise. That's when God says, do this or do that or do that. In contrast to the practices of the ancient world's pagan nations, God's people were to have only one place of worship, and that was the temple or the tabernacle. So God had to get the people to construct what you and I would now call a portable temple, which is called the tabernacle. And with God, the way God told them to do this thing and what was required, let me tell you, it wasn't cheap. God's never cheap. Never cheap. So after God gives you the resources, the second step is a ministry needs arise. He tells you to do something. Now I'm talking about financing God's ministries and his missions, but the same principle is going to apply in your life. If there's something personally that God wants you to do, the first step is God's going to give you some resources. You may not have put the dots together and realize it, but he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Maybe he wants you to help somebody. He's not going to ask you to help somebody knowing that you don't have resources. So he gives them to you first. Our problem is letting the resources go. I ain't give them a dime. You know how we do. I ain't helping them. No. They got themselves in their mess. I ain't doing it. Let me tell you something. That's not your decision. It gets quiet when I say that. We got any saved people here? Raise your hands. Amen. I'm talking to you folks. If God tells you to help those folks, I don't care who they are. That's not your decision. You say, well, you don't know what they did. You don't know. All they're going to do is do this, and all they're going to do is this. That's not your decision. Your obligation is to go to your Father. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then follow the peace. Because if God wants you to help those people, he's already given you the resources. Somebody say amen here today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the first step is that he give you the resources. The second step, he tells you what he wants you to do, or ministry needs to rise. The third step is that God impresses you to give. God speaks to you, directs you. Somehow or another, he impresses you to give. And he did the same thing with those Israelites. He had given them all this stuff from the Egyptians, all this resources. Hallelujah. He had already impressed in their hearts, to give. Now he's going to give them exact instructions as to what he wants them to do with the money. Look at Exodus 25:19. So he had given them the money. They're out there in the desert. And in the desert, they needed a place to worship God. So the ministry needs to arrive. And now God's going to tell them what to do. Exodus chapter 25, we're going to look at the first 9 verses of that. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this is what he's saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. Everybody say willingly.
Willingly.
Everybody say willingly again.
Willingly.
That's why there's going to be no begging here. Amen. That's why there's going to be no pressure here. God says, willingly, with his heart shall you take my offerings. And this is the offering which you shall take of them. Now look at what he tells them to get. I say, go get some gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hairs. He's talking to poor folks. But he's already given them all the stuff as they were leaving Egypt. And ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood. Oil for the light. Spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense. Oxen stone, very expensive. And stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary. Why? That I may dwell among them according to all that I show you after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so shall you make it. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. God is highly specific. If he wants you to do something, he'll give you detailed instructions as to how to do it. You don't have to figure nothing out. That's the good part of being saved. Listen, those days of trying to figure out what to do is gone.
Amen.
If you've got to figure something out, you're doing it on your own. If God hadn't told you exactly what he wants you to do, then you're just doing it on your own. And may the Lord help you. Amen. You're doing it on your own. Hallelujah. He says, in the pattern of all of instruments. So God is highly specific. And secondly, God is not cheap. Look at somebody tell him God's not cheap. Hallelujah. God is not cheap. I wish, my most sincere prayer for America and for American Christians is they stop playing religious games. Yes. Listen, either you're going to give your life to the Lord or you're not. Too many of us, and I say us, I'm talking about the body of Christ, want to live and serve two gods. You can't do that. You just can't do that. It won't work. If you embrace the God of the devil, God of the heavens will move away from you. It won't work. And I'm a living testimony that God of heaven, listen, is a much better God.
Amen.
Much, much better God. And secondly, I say that God is not cheap in whatever he wants you to do. I told you a minute ago that it costs these people in today's money at least about $5 or $6 million of the stuff that God's told them to go and put together and bring and get his tabernacle right. Why? It all belongs to him.
Amen.
It all belongs to him. Hallelujah. See, you might have your mind on a Volkswagen, but God has a mind on giving you a Cadillac. Brand new. Brand new.
Yes.
See, we talk about a brand new, and I just grabbed the name Cadillac out of the air. But listen, we talking about Cadillac. Listen, if you hear God in the middle of the night say, I want you to get a brand new Cadillac. See, the first thing to come out of mind, we start counting. We start getting on the internet and find out how much does a brand new Cadillac cost. Who cares? If God's financing it, hello. Yes. Who cares? If he told you to do it, who cares? I know there were some people back there in that desert saying, look, I ain't giving up my oxen stones. I'm not giving up my gold. And this is all, I ain't never had no gold. And they probably had never had no gold. But there gonna be some folks like that. No compulsion or coercion was used by God. God didn't select which families to give what. He just told Moses to tell the people what they needed. He had already given those. Do you see this thing? He had already given certain families certain things. So Moses' job, as the pastor of the sheep said, was just to tell the people what he needed. Moses didn't know who had what. Moses didn't know who had what. And it's the same thing even in a local ministry. You know, if God tells us to do a project that costs $5,000, I don't know what's in your pocket.
Amen.
I have no idea what God has given you, but you do. Step four of this process. And I want you to understand the process because it never changes. We're talking about funding ministry work now, but the same pattern applies in your life. Step four is that the need is met. Everybody say the need is met.
The need is met.
Hallelujah. Where are you going to come up with $5 million worth of resources out here in this desert to build this tabernacle in the way that God wants it built? Where are you going to do that? God said, I already gave it to them.
Amen.
Already gave it to them. If they got a heart and a willingness to give, they'll do it. Because I've already, listen, and God don't just give you just enough. He always give you more than enough.
Amen.
Don't you think for a moment that those people brought all that stuff and they didn't have any more left. God always gives us more than enough. Hallelujah. If God asks you to bless your next door neighbor with $500, listen to me. Listen, chances are that's not your last $500.
Amen.
The need is met. Step number four, Exodus chapter 35. Look at this thing. Now, it's important that I show you these scriptures. It's important that I remind you of the steps in which God goes through. It's important that you see these things with your own eyes. It's important that you and I start living this thing out. Stop depending upon your job. Hello? Stop depending upon whatever checks coming into your house. You're in a whole new kingdom now. Whole new kingdom. Anything God tells you to do, he's already provided the resources, either directly in your hand or he's opened the door already waiting for you to just knock on it. He always does that. He always does that. Always does that. Always. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. I tell that story sometime about how we acquired this building. It wasn't but a few people in the ministry at that time. We didn't have a building. But Greenville Community Church was starting their first stage of their building. I think their building was like $6 or $8 million, something like that. But what they did and what they had to do is go out and finance the building through bonds. And I never heard of financing the building through bonds because I never had to use bonds or so. But because of what God told us to do, he told us to get this building, God provided a way for us to get that information. The pastor over that end said, why don't you consider bonds? And it was like a light came on. Bonds, how to do that? Because I knew that if we went to a local bank with the few people that we had, one of the things that the local bank would do, first of all, listen to me good, is that they would make everybody in the church sign a note saying, I'm going to pay this thing back. Now, you know we're going to have a fight then. You know we're going to have a fight. But God said, no, I don't want you fighting. So God provided that way. He said, here, I've already set that thing up. And when we knocked on that door, the money just came. It just came. And in the fullness of time, God said, all right, now I want you to get out the bonds and I want you to do this. And we did that. You know, I'm telling you, if you get on board with this thing, listen, your life is going to be so much better. So much better. Look at Exodus 35, verses 20 through 29. Now, this is after. This is Moses and told the people what God told them to bring. And it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. Everybody say willing.
Willing.
And they brought, if I got to fight you about a program God said, dude, I don't want to fight you. I'm going to leave you alone. They did this willingly, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. That means that some people were not willing-hearted. And they brought, listen what they brought. They brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hairs and red skins of ram and badger skins, they brought them. Everything Moses asked for. Verse 24. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service, they brought it. And all the women that were wise hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which had spun, both of blue and of purple and scarlet and of fine linen. Verse 26. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom, they spun goat hairs. And the rulers brought oxen stone. This is where the leader type people. Yeah, I don't know how they wound up with all the jewels and stuff, but they did. They brought oxen stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. 28. And spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Who? Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manners of work which the Lord has commanded to be made by the hands of Moses. I don't know about you, but listen, I'll be so happy like a kid, listen, on a ferry wheel, whenever God gives us a new project that requires some inputs, financial inputs in it. I'll be so happy when those things happen because now I have an opportunity to sow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I may be just as selfish as the next person, but my mind is not just on that project. My mind is on the fact that, listen, multiplication of these seeds is coming.
Amen.
I know that for a fact because God never, ever, ever let us give without multiplying the return.
Amen.
He never does it. The people gave generously, joyously, and sacrificially. That should be you and I. That should be you and I. Whenever God puts a project on the table, listen, he said, listen, I want you to do that. then you need to just say it with all your heart, all your might. Well, listen, God's already gave you to you. He's already given you more than enough. He's already did it. Hallelujah. It was no doubt exceedingly difficult for these former slaves to part with their recently acquired wealth. You know there was something inside of them say, look, let's see what this guy next door gonna give. Maybe I'll hold back. Maybe they have more than enough. I know it was difficult for those people to do. I understand that. We need to stop wondering about, am I going to get some more? The same God that gave you that is going to give you some more. Amen. Always. Amen. Always. Yes. Always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After all, there was no apparent means of income in this Sahara, what is it, Sinai Desert. There was no work to be done. You ain't going to get no more. Once you give it, it's gone. Yet, everybody say yet. Yes. Yet the people gave freely and generously of their efforts, their talents, and their possessions. It all starts with God giving first. It always does. It always does. It always does. God has blessed the congregation here. He blessed them with houses. He blessed them with jobs. He blessed them with bank accounts. And I know it. I don't need to ask folks what you got. It's none of my business what you got. But I see the results of people's lives change. Amen. Amen? It's following the word of God. I see that. And it's not because we're smart or we got all that exceeding skills or whatever. It's God. God's the one that gave you the skills. Hello? And he gave you the skills to create the resources so that when the time comes when he said give, you can just willingly give. Amen. God's a good God all the time. That last step, step five, is that God gets the praise. Hallelujah. You don't get the praise. I don't get the praise. God gets the praise. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know, sometimes people come even into our local church and they say they've never been in here before. They come in here, they'd be expecting to see 3,000 or 4,000 people in here. They say, how in the world can their people afford? Could they afford that building? How could they afford the buildings that they got with child care? How could they afford the buildings that they got with Family Resource Center? How can they do that? How can they afford what they're doing with the thrift store? How can they do that? They're not. God's doing it. Amen. God, and that's how God wants us to live. That's how he wants us to live. Get it out of your mind about being popular. And everybody said, oh, you know, look at what Brother Butterbeans is doing. This is not about Brother Butterbeans. It's about God. And that fifth step is that God always gets the praise when you and I do the right thing. Exodus 36. Verse 4 through 7, last scripture. And it says, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary, it came, every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, look what they said. They came. These are the people that are doing the work and controlling and supervising all that. It says, and they told Moses this. They said, Moses, the people bring much more than enough. Ha! For the work of the Lord, which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained. Everybody say restrained. Restrained. Oh, what a good problem it is. What a good problem it is. When we set a goal of raising $2,500, but so much money coming in that the leadership of the church got to say, stop, don't bring no more money. Don't bring no, don't bring more money. That's what they tell them. They say, stop, stop. Rob, you done brought so much. We've got more than enough. Hallelujah. Because these people had a willing spirit. They had a willing spirit. But, you know, we be thinking about our little whatever we're doing. You know, God knows what you need. God's the one that allowed you to get in that position. In verse 7, rounds it up, it says, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much, too much, too much. These next 5 weeks, I just want to talk to you about living debt-free. Hallelujah. Don't miss these weeks, please. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 God's a good God all the time. All the time. I thank God for my wife. I do. I thank God for her. And once again, you know, when we go places shopping and stuff, she'd be saying, look, this is what this costs. This is what. And my reply back to her all the time, do you want it? Get it. Do you want it? Get it. We wouldn't be in this store. I don't let her go in those stores she can't afford. Amen? Amen. We wouldn't be in here. Amen. If you want it, get it. And that's the lifestyle God wants us to live. Amen? That's what he wants us to live. Let me just repeat those 5 steps for you. First of all, God blesses his people with the resource. God takes the first step. Secondly, then, a ministry needs arise. Thirdly, God impresses his people to give toward that ministry need. Fourth step, the need is met. The need should always be met. The need shall always be met. And then step 5, God gets the praise. Hallelujah. 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 That's how God wants his ministry funded. That's how he normally funds his ministry. That's how he, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're part of God's ministry, amen? That's how God wants things to happen through you, the things that he tells you to do. Because anything God tells you to do is a ministry. Amen. It's ministry. Whatever it is, it's ministry. And God's, and the same principles apply. God said, I don't want my people worried about where they're going to get the resources. If I told them to do it, listen, I've already taken the first step. I've already provided the resources. Either gave it to them directly in their hands or opened the door where they can get it very easily. God is a good God. Are you going to live these principles out? Amen. Are you going to let God bless you? Yes. Amen. Are you going to do that? Yes. God is a good God all the time. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord God, for all that's been said here today, all that's been done. Father, we simply believe your word. Hallelujah. And never from this day forward, Lord God, will we be hesitant to hear and obey when it comes to ministry. Hallelujah. Whatever it is you're telling us to do individually or corporately as a group, Lord God, our hearts are always going to be willing, Lord God. Hallelujah. For we know.